Keith Murphy.
If you ain't first, you're last.
Andy Fails.
I pity the fool.
It's the Murph and Andy Show, powered by AD.
You can do it!
On 1460 KXNO.
Welcome to the Murph and Andy Show on a Tuesday. We're here on 1460 KXNO alongside Andy Fails. I'm Keith Murphy. Andrew Downs is producing. And Andy, fresh out of today in Iowa today, what do you have for roads? What's going on? Can we travel anywhere we want in this great state?
Well, I-35 is open again.
Well, that's good. That's progress.
You know that didn't open again until 5 o'clock last night after our show?
That's crazy.
So that made it hard for some people to get to Hilton Coliseum, and it was a relatively small crowd considering.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, if you were trying to use 35 really anywhere around Ames, it's like you could come up from Des Moines, and that wasn't a problem, and I'm sure there were ways around it if you're coming from the north, but I mean that's the main artery if you're anywhere north of Ames. But yeah, it wasn't until 5 o'clock yesterday that finally reopened. Can you imagine what the traffic must have been like once it finally did reopen? All the trucks that needed to go north and south, there south from Minneapolis to the rest of the country, north from Ames to the Twin Cities and Canada, anywhere else. I mean, you're just totally cut off. That's your road. Right, I mean, you're not going all the way over to through Wisconsin or something. You're not going to the
no
Dakotas. I mean, that's your north south road, man. I mean, you're not going to 29. That's so anyway. Yeah, that took a long time to get that reopened, and then even this morning there were still a lot of roads, pretty important ones around northern Iowa that were still really frozen.
The videos have been incredible.
They have.
Like zombie apocalypse cars scattered all around. I saw, I think Megan Selwall had a video of one of like the big plows getting pulled out of a ditch by like another giant piece of construction machinery. It just...
Like they were worried about the vehicles that would clear the road couldn't stay on the road.
Right.
Roger Riley... Drifts. Just reporting here that travel is still not advised. Highway 65 north of Hampton. So Highway 65 still on the list of advisory not to travel. Man, there
because if you saw those videos, the weather that was up there, that blinding whiteout blizzard that they had, and the bitter cold and quite a bit of snow. It's not hard to believe that it takes multiple days to clear all that stuff. You're not getting any help from Mother Nature right now. I mean, stuff is frozen solid. Salt doesn't work.
I slid at two stop signs on my way here.
People are running out of that stuff, too. That's right. Local municipalities running out of salt.
Yeah, you pull up to the stop sign, like one was on 41st. And you go to stop and you don't realize that you're not going. I mean, you don't realize that it's the ice is there, or you don't realize how bad it's going to be. And then you just keep sliding. Yeah. And then at that point, you just hope that no one's coming because there's nothing you can do except like, wait for the car to stop.
Yeah, you just want to put
it's just
up
a
your
helpless
hands.
Feeling.
You're driving around and you've got some people. You look around and you'll be like, your only car choice right now is a Corvette. These people that the rest of the year they're riding in style, but right now you're like, what are you? Why are you driving that rear wheel drive car around in this stuff?
I know rear wheel drive.
You find one hill,
you're stuck.
And you're sunk.
You are in a bad way. You can't have rear wheel drive where we live.
No,
in
you
a little
can't.
Bit of a valley.
No.
So I stopped and got. I was pumping gas, and it feels like 5 degrees right now. So it's still really cold out there. It's bitter. And while I was getting the gas, I also got some pork rinds.
Oh, I know you're kind of a sucker for those.
Yeah. What do you think? You pork rinds? Yes or no?
I'm a yes.
You're a yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, occasionally I can't do too many of them. One little bag like that, I'm good. I don't think I could probably finish that bag.
Yeah. I probably only eat them once a year at most.
Okay. They're salty.
Yeah. They're not my go-to.
I mean, you talk about
yeah, they are.
The good thing about traveling with those right now is if you do get stuck, you can put those things out under your tires, and that'll melt all that snow.
Let me see if it has a sodium count on here. You're right.
Sodium count, you have to be kidding.
Sodium, it says less than 2.400 milligrams. That's a little bit surprising because I feel like you have to just drink a gallon of water as you're eating those. All right, so we have Iowa at Ohio State tonight, AD, that's a 6 p.m. tip,
yes,
right?
Yes, it is. Yeah, that's early good. Game. Yes,
yeah, early game. Look, or you could just tune in with a minute to go. Right, that's we right. come to expect that about
four,
a minute to go.
Four games in a row has come down to the final shot for Iowa, and the fifth game before that was in question in the final minute or so.
Yeah, Iowa is a 3-point underdog, even though the Hawkeyes are a more talented team and a better team than Ohio State. But Ohio State is viewed as one of those desperately trying to get into the NCAA tournament teams that's at home. And Iowa has, you know, the shot, the games have all been coming down to the final minute. So this will be an interesting game.
Kind of the end of the year where teams like this are considered like a cornered animal. Watch out. Don't get careful. Close, Billy.
That's a Buckeye. You. That's a Buckeye over there. Approach with caution. That is a nut?
Buckeye's a tree.
Oh, it's a tree.
Yeah, with okay. nuts. Yeah, they, with it has nuts. It has the nuts, and that's what they wear around their neck.
It's also some fantastic...
I think it's a type of chestnut.
...dessert. Like they,
Buckeye? I know,
yeah, they make it look like a Buckeye, but it's like a chocolate with they put peanut butter in the middle. It's basically a Reese's cup. Kind of that's constructed really? To look like a Buckeye. You can kind of picture it.
Oh,
chocolate
you're talking
on the
about.
Outside.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't know that was called a Buckeye.
Yeah,
oh,
make,
yeah,
yeah, Buckeye. Yeah. Make those around Christmas.
Yeah,
oh,
right. Yeah,
sure.
Those are good. My mom and her sisters make those.
Yeah, those are good.
Chocolate
sometimes
and peanut butter.
They don't just call those. Those are not the peanut butter balls, right? The peanut butter balls don't have the chocolate around the outside, right? It's like a ball of peanut butter with, what do they have, Rice Krispies in there or something?
Yeah,
some
kind of that's a different thing.
Those are good, too.
When we went to... the movie, when I went to the movie with the kids, would it be Sunday afternoon, Jenny sent us with those Reese's cups that the inside is Reese's Pieces.
Oh, has it kind of sprinkled throughout in there?
Oh, man.
Or it's all Reese's Pieces?
No, they're sprinkled into the peanut butter, but it gives it a little bit of a crunch.
Yeah. Does it make it better?
They're good.
I could have eaten 10.
Yeah,
wow.
They're really good.
Yeah, I'd be sick, but...
You know what I did the other day? I went to Mills Fleet Farm in the candy section over there. Where you go in there and you somehow get convinced that you need a pillow-sized bag of gummy worms.
Yep. Like, and then it's like 3 for $10, so you have to get the cherry sours also.
Or you're just like, $8, $8, $8 on candy.
Let me see that.
That's so much candy. I mean,
seems like a lot, but I pay $8 when I go to the movies for a small bag.
These $8, that'll last me all year. And so you get this giant bag of candy and you bring it home and you're like, well... And the first thing anybody else that wasn't on the trip with you says is, why did you think you needed that much candy?
Sure.
You're like, well, that's the small size.
Yeah.
Should have seen the big one.
It's a good deal.
Yeah, it's Mills Fleet Farm.
This was a good deal. Why wouldn't I
Yeah, I mean, did you realize what this cost per ounce is? It's phenomenal.
Anthony has been triggered by the word candy.
It's not hard to do, right?
No, not at all.
You guys like the big cup Reese's got out?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
They've got a new honey nut one. It's a honey nut Reese's, so it's got that creamy honey nut peanut butter inside of it.
So even more sugar. It's even sweeter.
Dude, it's unreal. It's unreal. So you definitely eat two and throw up, but they're really good.
Man, it'd be a good way to go.
If they made one of those the size of a dinner plate or a hubcap, I would try to eat it.
Like, I could eat it.
Like a pie? If they just made a pie.
Yeah, like a pie. A pie-sized Reese's.
Oh. I'd eat that.
It's like Viggo Mortensen in the Academy Award-winning Green Book just takes the entire pizza, folds it up, starts like you would a slice. Right. But that's how he eats a pizza.
Rolls the whole pizza?
Yeah, he just folds it and then just eats it.
Oh, wow.
Like, yeah, that's a lot.
That's kind of messy.
All right, so the Cyclones get back on track at Hilton Coliseum. A sluggish start for Iowa State against Oklahoma.
Now Manick, a shot fake, and now he'll fire a three and hit it. Brady Manick with his second bucket. He backs up and fires a 16-foot jumper and buries it. Christian James knocks it down, 9-7 Oklahoma. And the rebound controlled by Doolittle. This time Calixte pulls the trigger on a three and hits it. And a timeout call. A transition three for Calixte makes it 14-7 Oklahoma.
John Walters on the Cyclone Network, courtesy of Learfield, and Steve Prohm had to call a couple of timeouts to get the attention of the Cyclones early. So Iowa State is up by just one at half. But in the second half, The Cyclones remind us just how good they can be.
A pass deflected, but into the hands of Halliburton. A three good from the right corner for Tyrese Halliburton. A pass down low to Lard, and he laid it in. Another assist for Muriel. Scooping it out to Shayok for a left corner three. Yes! Screen from Jacobson. Weatherbab for three. Good! Nick Weatherbab. And now the Cyclones are 5 of 6 this half from three. Finds Jacobson. He'll fire a three. Good! Back-to-back big shots by Michael Jacobson, 69-53 Iowa State.
Man, they got rolling, Andy. They got that offense going. They got in the flow. The spacing was good. The shots, assists, everything. And then you see, like, okay, all right, that's got to make everyone feel better because they can snap out of this and be so dangerous.
Yeah, and it's a game like this, though, that does make you wonder, okay, do you look better because you're hitting shots, or are you hitting shots because you look better at everything you do around that? I mean, are you hitting the shots because you're setting them up better, or simply because they happen to be falling a little bit better, so you feel good, start rolling, get more confidence, relax? I mean, you know, what are the really big differences between a game like this or a second half like this, mm-hmm. and a second half like the one you had at TCU?
It's a chicken or egg question, yeah. Because there's no question human nature for most basketball players is when the shots are falling, their overall game picks up energy.
And because people are just like, you want to just say, well, the shots were falling. Right. Well, why were they falling? Because they were better shots, you had more room, you had better look at the basket, or just because it was one of those nights where the shots were falling. I mean, it's funny because we will write off a game as a game that shots just weren't falling. You weren't hitting your shots. So they didn't have a plan B. They couldn't go to that. Their plan A was to make the shots they took, and after that, they didn't have a plan.
Right.
Other games, they're making the shots they take, so that nothing else matters. So they win. But why did they make them? I mean, that's what you want to know. Like, for in the future, when you know you're trying to get them made right from the get go and not avoid the problem. How do you set that up? Or if they're not falling, what do you do after that to make them fall? Anyway, I'm getting way too far ahead here.
It's a fascinating team because, I mean, I've been identified weeks ago from people whose full-time jobs are to follow basketball nationally. I mean, weeks ago, Iowa State has been identified as a team that could make an NCAA tournament run, like, all the way to the Final Four, or could be bounced in the first mm-hmm. round. I mean, they've just looked like that. They're kind of like...
we all feel that way still.
Yeah, oh yeah, more so than ever, I think, because it's last night they reminded us how good... It's kind of like Nicolas Cage's movie career. You know, like, when he's good, he's really good, right? But, man, when he's bad, I mean, he's been in some awful movies. He's had some stupid roles.
Right. You know, some of the movies were so bad it didn't really matter what he did. They were going to be a bad movie. And then some of the movies he was in were such good movies that it didn't matter if he was good or not, right? I mean,
yeah, maybe.
But, you look at the game at TCU, they were not they couldn't hit shots, right? And no matter what the shot they were taking, they were not making it.
It's like 2 for 20, really, right?
Yeah, 2 for 20 from three.
Derek has identified the problem.
Hey, fellas, love the show. The problem is when George, Matt Thomas, Monte, everybody was there, when there was a foul or something, everybody huddled up, and I don't know what they're talking about, but we have no leader. Shayok's quiet. Nick Babb is quiet. We need a leader on this team, and we don't have it. That's why we're so inconsistent, and we're going to lose one of these road games, and we shouldn't lose either one of them, but we'll lose at West Virginia probably.
Thank you, Derek. I don't follow the team closely enough. Like, I'm not at practices and like a Travis Hines or a Randy Peterson or Tommy Burch or Jared Stansbury. Those guys are around the team all the time. I don't know what the level of leadership is. It doesn't appear that there's an obvious leader when you watch the games. It doesn't look like there's a George Niang out there or... you know, pick your leader. So I get Derek's point, but I couldn't say definitively that there's not a floor leader out there. But
you see Nick Weiler-Babb come in and look like a leader.
Yeah,
from time to time.
He's a quiet guy.
Makes
though.
A tough play. Yes, right. But sometimes that's your leader is just a guy who leads by example. Makes a tough play, hits an important shot.
Best defender.
Yeah, I mean, the game that we were watching against Texas was a really good example of that. But, I don't know as far as the huddle or practice goes.
And sometimes it's tough if the leader isn't also the best player. Or, like, even, you know, like Nick Weiler-Babb's a very good player. He's not one of the big offensive threats on that team. He's probably not top three, probably, right?
It's still odd that your preseason all Big 12 player is coming off the bench.
Yeah, still, too. A lot of people thought he would start last night, shake things up after, you know, losing 3 of 4, and again came off the bench. And
Played 10 of 20 minutes in the first half.
Yeah.
I mean, Lindell Wigginton is who we're speaking of. But Iowa State does roll in this game, picks up a needed win. Steve Prohm does know this will calm everyone down.
But we just needed to win. I mean, the reality of it is we lost 2 home games, and so that's magnified. I mean, you know, we're 28, we're 9-6, you know, which isn't bad, but we lost 2 home games. And so if you flip that, you know, it's a whole different scenario, and you're writing a whole nother scenario. You know, we hadn't played well this last 2 weeks, but everybody goes through that. I mean, Texas Tech, as good as they're playing right now, they're shooting the ball so well right now. They went through a stretch where they lost to us, Baylor, and Kansas State all in a row. This legal, like I said, after the TCU home game, the legal home view, we hadn't played well. For whatever reason, rebounding wise, missing shots, we just got to fix it. And the only way you fix it is you work, you get better, you play the next game. And so it was good to just get back out of here and play. But it's good to win. We needed to win.
I almost missed the 9 o'clock sportscast because I was watching this post game on Cyclones TV. If you haven't done that before, it's interesting to watch just because Steve Prohm loves talking basketball, and he doesn't like try to give. It's like the opposite of Matt Campbell, in that Campbell can talk for a few minutes and really doesn't say anything. He just doesn't want to reveal anything. You ask Steve Prohm something, he'll go on and on and on. I mean, I'm surprised if there's a grease board there, he might go up and start diagramming plays for the next game. I mean, he just
enjoys it.
He just enjoys it. He appreciates the question. He deep dives into it. It's just, it's fun to watch
him. Let me use this dry erase board. I think I can explain it better.
Yeah, the question never seems to, like, annoy him or make him want to leave. He's not that guy in a hurry. It's just like, oh, these guys are here doing their job. They have basketball questions, and I love basketball, so yeah, I'm going to talk.
And you say that, and that kind of makes me think, like, most basketball coaches seem to be like that. They're willing to talk. They say more. I mean, NBA and college level. And in football, they say nothing.
Right.
Football
right.
coaches say nothing. They want to give you nothing. You want, it's crazy how those two, it's a juxtaposition that I never noticed until you just pointed it out.
And it's not going to change. Because who's probably at this point the acknowledged greatest football coach in NFL history?
Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
He set that example.
Right. And he's at the top. Who's thought to be the best college coach right now?
Nick Saban.
Yeah, Saban.
Nick
Saban. Right.
So at the top of the profession, the guys that others are looking up to, you have two guys who say nothing.
Right. Despise that post-game.
Yeah, and are just agitated with the media all the time. So the other coaches kind of take their cues from him. Now you go to the NBA.
Yeah, you got Steve Kerr and Popovich who not only say everything about basketball, they'll talk politics, they'll say controversial things, they'll say whatever you want.
I mean, and those guys have very different personalities. I mean, Popovich is very prickly, and Steve Kerr is, you know, very engaging, but they both will say a lot. I mean, they'll say what they're thinking.
Well, yeah. You'll get they hold their own impromptu press conferences in the hallway.
Yeah.
Right? And, I mean, they don't have to be in the post.
And Calipari and Coach K are kind of that way, too. You know, Calipari loves the Dan Patrick show. Yeah. They'll tell you everything about their team. They'll tell you the guys that aren't playing well and the guys that are and what they plan to do.
Tom Izzo is like that.
Yeah.
I wonder if it is as simple as taking cues from the leader in your profession. Like, oh, this is the way. It's the way Belichick does it, so why would you do it any differently? Reveal nothing. I mean, it's working for him. Right, right, exactly. Murph and Andy Show, 1460 KXNO. Fred Hoiberg was back at Hilton. He, of course, has lived most of his life in Ames, has family in Ames, as does his wife. So they get back quite a bit. And he did some interviews. I read some comments
last week. He was, that was the, that wasn't the TCU game. That was
Baylor.
The Baylor game. Yes, the Baylor game. Yeah, he was back. Monte Morris was back. It was a really, it was a key app. Was it Tuesday? Last Tuesday?
I think that's right. Yeah.
So, a key atmosphere for Iowa State to do well in.
And didn't
lost.
But
it is funny, and we've watched him from so many angles in that building. When Fred Hoiberg comes into Hilton Coliseum, it's almost like bringing like a bee into an elementary school classroom.
Immediate buzz.
Well, it's like the kid, no one can focus on anything else. There's a bee in the room. You know, just looking all around. Everybody's looking at the bee. Is it going to sting me? The bee's flying around. I mean, you can't do anything else because there's a bee in the room. You bring Fred Hoiberg in there, people don't pay attention to anything else that's going on because Fred Hoiberg is in the room.
It's a reminder of the fishbowl.
No doubt. I mean, but the guy's had it since he was in high school.
Oh, yeah.
Like that. I mean, that's just his place. And, the broadcasters are talking about him, right? I mean, the cameramen keep following him around. I mean, every time they go to a shot of Fred Hoiberg, they've got, like, multiple angles, right? Here, give me a shot of Fred Hoiberg in the crowd. And then there are three angles. And they're switching. The director in the truck is switching them up.
So he has to be somewhat self-conscious of knowing that at any time, whatever he's doing, checking his phone, picking his nose, could be on camera.
Clearing the underwear.
Yeah.
It was crack or something. Just being a normal human being, but he can't be. But so, you know, the broadcast team talks to him, had a good long visit with him, and it was interesting. And Fred was, I thought, pretty open about the whole thing. I mean, he had nothing to be ashamed of in the way things happened in Chicago. He did his best.
Didn't really have much of a chance there. He's still being paid and will be paid for next season too.
He's talking about talking about Jack at Michigan State, talking about, you know, seeing his parents, all that stuff. But then, you know, they're kind of hinting around about what his plans are next. And, you know, the gist of it was whether he was talking with those guys or with Randy Peterson later on. I mean, people got the idea that he was open to returning to coaching at the college level, right?
Because that's sure what everybody wants like to know. Yeah, it sounded like he was open.
That's the one thing that the entire building pretty much had in common that night, is that when Fred Hoiberg was there, that when they saw Fred Hoiberg, they were going to wonder, I wonder if he'll come back to college coaching. Not necessarily here, but just period.
Right.
Right? I mean, that's it. The one guy everybody in the building knows, probably likes, and that's the one question that comes to mind. So he seemed open to that, and
he even tried to go back and smooth over some of his comments that got attention a few years ago about how much he hated recruiting.
Yeah, right. I mean, you didn't hear any of that sentiment there when he was talking about it. He didn't say anything like, and he didn't give any favor to a future in the NBA, right?
Mm-hmm.
He said coaching.
Keep your options open.
Why
not?
And he probably doesn't really know what he wants to do yet.
Like, I never say I won't do weather because I don't know what's next. You know, I mean, some lunatic.
A lot of people out there that think you already do it.
Yeah, yeah. I already get compliments and insults about the weather. Right. Some lunatic company could buy us and say, you know what?
Sports and weather.
More weather, less sports, you know? Right. And then I would have to be open to moving.
Then you would have to be open to like a Hunger Games type situation with Ed.
Oh, man.
Harvey TV would look real different.
You don't want to take it.
But, yeah, I mean, everybody's talking about that. And so you have to wonder, what would that be like if he returned to coaching but not here? Where would be an okay place with Cyclone fans for Fred Hoiberg to land? And the answer in my mind is nowhere. Now, of course, everybody gets over it.
Right.
You move on with your life.
You get past the shock.
You put down the heavy baggage and you move on with your life. You don't worry about stuff you can't control. But at first, there's no place that they would be okay with him coaching.
This is the favorite son. Let's get a quickie poll presented by WCI Pools and Spas.
If another university hired Fred Hoiberg, how would Cyclone fans handle it? They'd be okay as long as Iowa State keeps winning. They would freak, and then they'd cope. It depends on the school, or they would never get over it.
I'm a depends on the school guy. I mean, of course there's going to be some elements of all of these, but I think the biggest factor is the school. The farther away from Iowa, the better. The more storied the tradition, the better. If Fred Hoiberg succeeds Mike Krzyzewski at Duke,
the more unlike Iowa State.
Yes.
I mean, the better.
Yeah. If it's Duke, they'll get over. If it's UCLA,
all right,
they'll
well,
get over.
Let's think of five programs that would be the most acceptable to Iowa State and likely too. Don't say
you know,
Savannah State or something.
Duke, North Carolina,
UCLA.
Duke, North Carolina, UCLA.
Not Michigan State.
Nope.
Because of the
Big Ten. And
the Big Ten.
Can't be
right.
A Big
I'm
Ten
trying to
school.
Think of old coaches who could
right.
be retired.
Syracuse.
Syracuse. Yeah. Arizona.
Yeah.
Yeah. Arizona
There's
would
five.
Be a good.
They may have their coach fired soon.
Yeah.
Can't imagine Syracuse.
There's five.
Or what about a Florida?
Yeah,
storied enough, I guess.
National
They've
titles.
Won national championships, but football is king. I mean, basketball is
yeah, but then he wouldn't have to.
And you'd have to live in Florida.
The reaction definitely depends on the school, but I think no matter where he were to go,
it's going
to
be awful.
They would freak
first.
And then cope. That's my vote because there. I think there's a level in most Cyclone fans' heads of maybe someday
but
he'll come back
if they
here.
Go,
if he goes to UCLA,
you can't pick that option,
he's
though.
He's never coming back.
If he goes to Nebraska, they will not cope, ever.
Well,
they will not ever be okay
You don't
with
think
him.
Ever?
No.
His grandpa coached at Nebraska.
I don't think
he
that matters.
Born in Lincoln.
Fred was born in Lincoln,
matter.
Yes. I think his parents at one time worked there.
They could watch him beat Iowa twice a year.
Yeah.
They would not cope with that. They would never
Nebraska's
get to a point where
Nebraska's
they were okay
a hard
that.
No. That's a
it's
hard
a
no.
real hard
Kansas
no.
is a hard no.
Oh, that'd be, that would
yeah,
be,
that would be horrible.
Anywhere in the Big 12 would
Iowa
be too much.
Is the
well,
ultimate
Iowa
no.
Iowa is the ultimate no.
What's
but
the ultimate no? Is it Kansas
I
or
think
Iowa?
Iowa.
Well, yeah, yeah. Iowa's the ultimate no, but Kansas is second, and I think Nebraska's probably third.
Man,
yeah,
I think
absolutely.
Nebraska would be behind everybody else in the Big 12. I think it's probably Iowa, the no. entire Big 12,
because
and then Nebraska.
If you go to coach at Nebraska, you're like, whoa, you're that desperate to get back into college basketball coaching? Why didn't you say something?
You realize
we'll
you're
clear
not,
out everybody else to get you back.
Yeah, you don't have to play him.
You're going to go to Nebraska to coach basketball?
You realize
Talk
this is not
Florida
a football job, right? It's a basketball job.
You
have
to tell
I know.
And you have to play him twice a year? That'd be much worse than Nebraska.
All right, when we come back on the Murph and Andy Show, we'll have more, including the never-ending winter.
How about a little Guess Who's Birthday powered by Cellular Advantage?
I'm feeling good today. I'm feeling confident.
Well, I gave you the win yesterday, and then we had to rip it out from under you, so I apologize for that.
Karma's going to come back to me today.
I was told there'd be no math. Andy, we'll start with you. Guess Who's Birthday?
This movie, Whiplash,
yeah.
You play a young drummer in the film, and it has to be really you playing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I started playing when I was 15.
That's Miles. That is Miles. And I know him so well, I just use his first name. That is Miles Standish.
No.
Miles.
Tell me his
Patrick
name.
Patrick Corbin.
Tell me his name.
Miles.
You
tell
can tell.
His last name.
Miles
you can tell.
Brammer.
Tell
Brummer.
You
Miles.
Can, you just can tell.
I have a brain fart.
Just tell us.
Miles.
Tell us.
Miles
even.
Teller.
Hell yeah, Miles Teller. Yeah, well done.
Teller.
Going to play Goose, by the way.
That's
Goose's
right.
son.
That's right.
It'll be Goose's son in Top Gun,
How
the next Top Gun.
How could he be the son of Meg Ryan and Anthony Edwards?
Put him in, the movie's already been being shot. Put Goose and Miles Teller, look up side by side of them, and you might be surprised.
Really?
Yep.
Am I not?
No, I'm doing that.
I'll see. All right. Miles Teller is Miles Teller. I only was playing a high school student not very long ago.
Hey, it's not bad. You're right. Just Google Miles Teller, Anthony Edwards.
Miles Teller is 29.
He's 32, so that's a miss. Murph, guess whose birthday?
My first guest starred in the hit TV show Key and Peele and directed the smash hit movie Get Out.
Is it Jordan Peele?
It is Jordan Peele.
I always struggle to remember Key's name, so that's good.
Keegan-Michael Key.
Keegan-Michael, okay. Jordan Peele is, it's well known that he's 49.
He is 40, so it's that's quite a
wow.
miss.
Wow.
But hey, it's still tied up.
Jeez, what a talent. He's accomplished so much already. Good job.
People Andy? Really have the wrong idea about him.
Guess whose birthday?
Our first guest is the Emmy Award-winning star of the hugely popular television program Frasier, currently in its 10th season. Ladies and gentlemen, here's...
That's Kelsey Grammer.
It is.
Kelsey Grammer is... man, how old is Kelsey? Kelsey Grammer is 74.
He's 64.
Sorry, Kelsey. Why did I think he was that stinking old? That's pretty old,
I was
kind
of surprised by that, too, because you think, like...
That means he started Cheers, like, in his 20s or something.
I mean, he did not look young.
So, like, in 95, he was, like, 40 when, like, Frasier was kind of big, but...
Yeah, sorry, Kelsey.
64. All right, Murph, the door's open here. Guess whose birthday?
His great popularity became an important catalyst for professional basketball's merger in 1976. He became a Philadelphia 76er and would remain one throughout his NBA days.
Oh, man.
That's the office's Julius Erving.
That's right.
Dr. J.
Yes.
The doctor is 70.
He's 69. It's good enough for a win.
Had confidence today. I could just feel it. All right, let's get some more here on the Murph and Andy Show, 1460 KXNO.
It's time for more, brought to you by Lithia Volkswagen of Des Moines. I'm Scott Landreth, inviting you to get more savings, more selection, and more service only at Lithia Volkswagen. Visit DesMoinesVW.com. And now, back to Murph and Andy.
All right, so peep this out. It is typically 40 degrees today.
Well, it's not.
Typically. It's 19 right now.
It feels colder.
It is colder. No wonder.
Oh, yeah.
It is 19 degrees.
Man, we're not going to hit 40 for...
It feels colder than it normally is because it is colder.
I've got like the 10-day forecast up, and we don't even hit 30.
Yeah, we don't. I don't think we... Do we get above like 24?
I think 24 is the high.
And then we get back down. By the time Murph's birthday rolls around at the end of the week, we're below zero again. Yeah. Can you believe that? Jeez. So, and here we go. Typically, we get 7 inches of snow in February.
Well done.
February. This month we got 25.1. This is an atypical February.
You do sound a little drunk.
Did that?
That is atypical.
Did you guys pick up on that? This month being atypical. Did it feel to you like maybe this wasn't, your mama's February?
No,
your grandfather's February.
It felt like crap.
It's been a rough, brutal month.
Well, I was building a tunnel for the mailman to get the mail into my mailbox. I was like, man, this is weird. I've never had to do this before.
We sold something on Facebook Marketplace the other night, and a woman came to the... I almost hate to even tell the story. The woman came to the house, and she...
Was in a robe?
Was pissed that we had not done a better job of removing the ice from our front walk.
Did she fall?
She did not fall. But she swore up and down that it was only by the grace of God that she didn't.
Did she show anger? I mean, was she?
I think she. Yeah, she was.
I mean,
a little,
did she like? You got to do a better job.
She was like, well, I just made the walk of death up here. We're like, oh, it sounds like you're exaggerating a little bit. But we took the item, out through the garage.
Of course, she bought some pillows to fall on.
Yeah, I did look.
Beanbag chair.
I did get a look at that on my way back today. It is like I think I could skate down the walk if I could put my skates on and skate down the walk. It's bad. I mean, because stuff melts and you don't see a little bit and then trickles out there maybe during the day just and it freezes solid. Now it's super cold. Okay, here we go. The Jupiter, Florida Police Department assures that despite Robert Kraft's categorical denials of hiring prostitutes at the Orchid of Asia massage spa, they have got video evidence of his guilt. Graphic video evidence.
I don't want to use that term twice.
Graphic video evidence.
By the way, have you seen the window to the place where there's an asterisk next to each of the things they offer?
I mean, no. Are you sure that's not a little orchid, little flower, little petal? No.
I think they're asterisks. I do. I think
asterisk.
Yeah, like you know,
like massage.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Relaxation asterisk. Yes. Well, you put an asterisk about next to a whole lot of words, and it really gives it a different tone, right?
Oh yeah, it looks like the steroid era. Yeah. Looking at this window,
man, I don't need to see this video.
Light license.
I don't want to see this video.
I was uncomfortable reading the description of the video.
You hope that's real grainy, right? I mean, I hope if he did this, they bust him hard, and it's you know because really. $6 billion, bust him hard. Yeah, well, man.
They, you know, the
Friday,
the,
Friday, the, write it down the, for Friday. The thing, the I mean, thing I hope happen. They really get him.
Well, they're gonna. They're. I think he's in a. This does lend itself to some humor and some cheap shots and some side swipes and some absolute fascination with a man this wealthy and successful could be at a place at like this,
the Orchid of Asia.
But the reality here is because of some of the. Trafficking accusations of how some of the women girls right, got there. This has
that's not funny.
This has some really serious criminal elements to it. That while you know Kraft is not directly tied to those by allegedly using these services, this could be where we don't you know the NFL has to really take action here.
Right. I mean, but these types of places are. Everywhere.
I know.
They're all over Central Iowa. We've talked about it time and again. I mean, you see these places, they all have names that are kind of similar to that. And you wonder, you go by and they're open at, you know, 10 o'clock on a Friday. Like, what real massage therapist is working right now?
I do want you to look at the window and tell me if you think it's orchids or asterisks. Because what have you looked at it, AD? You're the fastest Google search person in the world.
Yeah, I just saw it.
So what do you think? You think those are orchids or asterisks?
Asterisks.
I do, too. I really think they are.
I'm not making an argument here.
No, I think it's like massages in quotation marks. Yeah, right. So it's like, what does it say on there?
Let me pull it up again here.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying these types of places typically they don't speak good enough English to deal in the nuances of asterisks.
Yeah, so it says massage therapy, table shower, body treatments.
Table shower with an asterisk.
Yes. Yeah.
Facial treatments and waxing.
Waxing with an asterisk?
Yes.
What does that mean?
Well, you don't want to know. We don't
put wax on you to tear the hair off. We pour wax on you for a different reason.
There's also one asterisk with just nothing there, like in between facial treatments and waxing. Oh, yeah. There's just a gap.
That's
the VIP room.
They're not using those. There's one that's just blank. Fill in your own.
Yeah. So I asked you.
They used to say happy ending, but they took that off.
How much are they? How much are you trying to hide the place when you have like massages, asterisk, winky face? Yeah.
Bill Maher said the other night,
place is happy endings.
Yeah, this is the last thing in the world that Robert Kraft needs one more of is another happy ending. Those asterisks, they're just using those, I think, as the bullet point. Because that was what was left on the stencil sheet that they bought to decorate their window. I don't give them that much credit.
Okay.
The Orchid of Asia waxing is just down there by itself. Would you go in there to get waxed?
No.
Table shower? What is a legitimate table shower? What does that look like?
I don't know what a
legitimate massage therapy or facial treatments are, but what's like a good, honest to goodness table shower?
Is that a shower
for someone who can't walk or a table shower?
And are there different levels? I mean, do you go in table shower or you save up your money and say, I'd like golden?
Yeah, right.
Are there levels?
The gold level table shower. Oh, my God. Yeah, graphic video evidence available. Holy smokes.
No. Thank you.
So beginning tonight at 5 o'clock, downtown residents, employees, and visitors here in Des Moines, and we have a lot of visitors here right now with the girls' tournament going on, are asked to find parking in the parking garages rather than out on the streets. There is so much snow out there, the city has got to get it out. The big piles are cringing on the parking spaces, make it very difficult to get around. Again, a time where we have a lot of people in from out of town. So the city wants to move all that snow out and dump trucks and move it down to the Metroway site. on Southeast 14th. And so if you park downtown, if your car is still parked there, you're probably going to get towed. Least ticketed, probably towed. Get your car out of there so everybody else can have a better city to drive around in right now. Some people just abandon their cars. We have one car right now in the Channel 13 parking lot that has just been abandoned.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just sitting there. It's like not an old car either. It's a relatively new car. Whose car is that?
I think it's Bachman's. He just forgot.
Bachman would never drive that little car. But, I mean, who has an extra car? I'll just leave it there. The one car is, it's stuck at WHO. I'll have to use the other car. I guess I better not use that car right now. It's got too much snow on it.
Who's the comedian who said, all right, you cannot park here, so we're putting a boot on your car so you can only park here?
Yeah, right. So you absolutely cannot move it from this illegal parking spot here. Right? That makes no sense at all. The first concert for the upcoming Waterworks Amphitheater has been announced. See this, Andrew?
I did.
It's a cool-looking place. They have artist renderings of this.
I can't believe they've already announced it. I don't think it's built yet, right?
It's moving along, but it's not. They haven't gotten a whole lot done with this crazy winter we've had.
It does look cool.
English rock and roll group The Struts will play the amphitheater on July 15th. And damn it, wouldn't you know it, that's a Monday night. Even with this new theater, we get stuck with Mondays and Tuesday and Wednesday concerts.
Is this a popular group? I don't know The Struts.
I don't either.
I don't either.
Evidently, they sold out Woolies. Sold out Woolies. They have some decent bands over Woolies that have a national following. But anyway, that's all set. Did you see the passengers all stranded on the Amtrak train in Oregon? Did you guys see that?
No.
They were taking the train from Seattle to Los Angeles and got into a real snowy region.
Oh.
There were bad weather. And there was a tree that had fallen across the tracks. So they hit the tree and it hurt the train somehow, and they're just stuck. So they were there for, last check, 30 plus hours. And that's a really long train ride, Seattle to LA. And there's a lot of stops in between, but it's potentially an 18 and a half hour train ride.
Ooh.
1,100 miles.
Yeah.
But so people, I mean, if you're taking that long of a train ride, I mean, you're not packing for the train ride, right? I mean, you're packing for your stay wherever you're going.
And they probably didn't either, with food and drinks.
Diapers,
and that kind of stuff.
Feminine products, I guess. Mm-hmm. They were running out of all that stuff, and it's just mayhem. There's nothing, they can't, it's freezing cold. There's four feet of snow in every direction, so they can't, get off the train and start walking like planes, trains, and automobiles.
Yeah, this is more like the Polar Express.
They're just stuck. Yeah, they're stuck. So I don't know. I know they were working hard to get them out of there. Hopefully they are out of there now. Hear the story of Terry Robison?
No.
Man from Texas. He's decided that rather than go to a nursing home or a retirement community, he will go to Holiday Inn and just keep switching those up. Average nursing, he figured it all out. Average nursing home costs $188 a day. Reservations at Holiday Inn, $59.23 per night. And with both a long-term stay and senior discount, factor in the free breakfast and happy hour, and he calculated that would leave $128.70 a day for food and entertainment for him. So Holiday Inn's all about it. And, of course, they offer the complimentary shampoo, soap, toothpaste, and razors. They have a laundry room. They got a workout room. They got the pool.
Right.
They have a little spa, not quite like the Orchid of Asia, but, regular spa.
But Robert Kraft is listening to all this.
Right. So he is thinking that this is going to leave him just in much better shape. He live at a Holiday Inn, not a retirement home. And he'll also have, he pointed this out, $5 worth of tips a day that he can hand out to the staff there. And he figures they'll be just scrambling over those $5. That he's going to hand out as tips.
I like his
out-of-the-box thinking. Yeah, he's going to be living large there at the Holiday Inn for the rest of his life.
He does know there's not, like, nursing care and assistance.
Yeah, it's a little difference here. Yeah,
it's hard to ask the maid to come help you change it.
Not a real good direct comparison, right? They don't have a bedpan at the Holiday Inn, right? I mean, if you need a nursing home, you need to go to a retirement community, not the Holiday Inn. Those are people with different needs, right?
Right.
But for now, he's mobile and can live alone independently. Rather than go to a retirement community, he's gonna live at the Holiday Inn.
Back with Throwdowns after this.
It's time for Throwdowns. Powered by Heartland Tire and Auto Center.
All right, let's throw it down, Andy. Iowa has won four of its last five road games and beat Ohio State by 10 at home in January. It feels like this team has a different mentality than Iowa teams of the past. Should Hawkeye fans expect a win on the road tonight?
It's still a tough place. They've still shown that on the road, they're not great. I mean, they're better than teams in years past, but you forget how bad they were last year on the road. I mean, that was a really low bar that they have cleared. I mean, they've cleared it, but I don't think to the point where you can expect a win at a place like Ohio State that's been ranked this year, that is clinging to its life, is a team that desperately needs a win more than Iowa does right now. But I think you go into this thinking that you very well can win this game and that you're in it until the final, until it is way out of hand. If it's within reach in the final minutes of this game, you believe that Iowa can still do it?
Expect, no. I don't think you can expect it. I think you have reason to believe that you will win or have confidence that you're going to win, but expect it at Ohio State. Don't think that it's reached that point yet. Not with, four or five close calls, and this game is on the road, and it's a well-coached team. So expect, I think, is a little bit too much.
I expect it. Murph, 2 years ago last week, Magic Johnson was named president of basketball operations for the Lakers. Last year, they were 12 games below 500 and missed the playoffs. They did get LeBron in the offseason, currently 29-31 in the 10th spot in the West. Has Magic's tenure been successful so far?
Whew. I want to get very close to saying yes, because he brought LeBron James in, and that made the Lakers relevant again. I guess if I had to pick, I would still say no, because I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. And I think whoever was behind this, and maybe it was just LeBron himself, I think it was absolutely disastrous the way this was handled this year, in that they made all of their intentions known, that all of these guys, they wanted them gone to get Anthony Davis, and then they didn't pull it off, and now they have no team chemistry. I mean, they have guys that know they're not wanted. So you have to have better leadership and maintain that better. I'm going to narrowly say no. I would say absolutely not if he hadn't gotten LeBron to L.A., which did make him relevant again.
Well, yeah, and that's everything. I mean, that's what they wanted to do. That's what those fans wanted him to do. They wanted to get LeBron James. You get LeBron James, and then everything else eventually falls into place. I think he's successful because he got that one thing done. I mean, it's not a resounding success, but things were ahead of schedule and going along pretty well this gravy year until LeBron got hurt. I mean, if he didn't get hurt, which he never does get hurt, chances are they are going to the playoffs right now, and things look a whole lot better. Maybe, who knows, maybe they even did get Anthony Davis, but they're still in line to line things up for next year.
All right, the poll's up on Twitter, at Murph_Andy. Who won Throwdowns?
We'll start hour number two with trending Iowa and the latest on Dolph. That's coming up next.